In 1979, James Baldwin wrote a letter to his agent describing his next project, Remember This House, a personal account of the lives and assassinations of three of his close friends, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King Jr. In his Oscar-nominated documentary, I Am Not Your Negro, Raoul Peck envisions the book that James Baldwin never finished. The result is a radical, up-to-the-minute examination of race in America using Baldwin's original words and a flood of rich archival material. The film, which opened a theatrical run last Friday, can be seen at Film Forum, Lincoln Center's Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center, and other theaters, which you will find on our show page at wmyc.org/lopate. I'm very pleased it has brought Raoul Peck back to our show. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's nice to have you.
And many reviewers have suggested that your film could not be timelier. When did you decide to make it?
Well, listen, we started working on this film 10 years ago, so we never knew that we would end up at a time like this. Although I could already feel something was happening around you, because don't forget, in places like Europe, we already had Trump-like characters. You know, if you to name one, Berlusconi, Silvio Berlusconi in Italy. Those are exactly the same type of bully behavior, populist discourse, and also billionaires being on power. So in Europe, we are having Trump-like personas for quite a while.
You live in Paris.
I live back and forth between New York and Paris.
Although you come from Haiti, and we'll get into
Haiti,
that as well.
Yes.
This isn't a documentary about James Baldwin's life. What is it about Baldwin and his views on black history and the civil rights movement that you felt were missing from other examinations of the subject?
Well, first of all, I think we got lazy those last 30 years. We thought we made it. We have a Black History Month. We have Martin Luther King Day.
And we had Barack Obama.
And we had Barack Obama. But I started the film before Barack Obama. But Baldwin says something very important about that. When a journalist asked him, you know, what will it be for you to have a first black president? His answer was, the real question is not when we will have a black Negro president, but the real question is what country he will be the president of. And that's exactly what is happening today. It was not about Barack Obama alone. It was about the whole country.
Baldwin began this project 8 years before he died. Why didn't he finish it?
Well, as many authors, you know, they work on multiple projects at the same time, and it's somewhere on the desk, and so they would work at it and leave it for another project and come back. And I think this particular project was very hard for him to go through. And you can see in the film, he's physically, he feels the pain very physically about the death of those friends. So somehow it got cut into the many projects he was working on at the time.
And how did you hear about it? And
well,
did his estate give you complete access?
Exactly. You know, that's why this film is unprecedented, because you never have an option or the rights for more than one book or one chapter of a book. In that case, I had total access to everything. Written, unwritten, published, unpublished, photos, private letter, everything. So,
and a lot of archival footage, things that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, well, we had almost a world search for archive for this film. But so the Gloria Carifas-Mart, who is James Baldwin's younger sister, gave me access to everything. And 4 years into the project, because the whole project was 10 years, she gave me those notes about Remember This House, and she just told me, you know, you will know what to do with it. And for me, that was just the big opening I was looking for.
You use it as a voiceover, and you had Samuel Jackson voicing Baldwin's
yes.
words.
Well, it was much more than voicing or narrating. It was being the voice. That's why the film functioned that well, and that you don't really... It's not about Samuel Jackson. It's a voice which is Baldwin, and he succeeded in creating a character.
He'd been a boy preacher.
Yes.
So to some degree, there's always a little bit of the preacher in him, even though he came to feel that Christianity might be part of the problem. What about the three people that he was writing about? They didn't agree on an awful lot of things, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and Medgar Evers.
The incredible thing about it is that we choose to remember those leaders for a very short time of their life. We forgot that Martin Luther King, the last 2 years of his life, was a very radical leader, that he had moved on from this race issue to a class issue. You can hardly have access to the speeches he had those last 2 years, you know, when he criticized the involvement of America in Vietnam, by example, and that the fact that the next march to Washington was going to be a march against poverty, whether black or white. And it's the same Malcolm X, by the way. We don't have statues for Malcolm X, although those two men were very close to each other toward the end of their lives.
Now, he was assassinated by members of the Nation of Islam.
Well, that's too easy to say it like this, because you know that these men were probably the most surveilled men in this country. You know, they had recording of everybody. They had people inside the structure.
You mean the FBI did?
The FBI, the CIA, etc. They'd follow them, every hours of their life. So it's a way to put somebody free for a killing. You know, I don't think they really organized the killing, but they let it happen because they could have prevented it.
In the case of Baldwin, he is very much an outsider. He doesn't seem to be a joiner. It's been reported that he once visited Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Nation of Islam, who asked him about his religious beliefs, and he answered, "I left the church 20 years ago and haven't joined anything since." And then Elijah Muhammad asked him, "And what are you now?" And Baldwin said, "Now? Nothing. I'm a writer. I like doing things alone."
Yeah.
And then the fact that he was gay at a time in the civil rights movement where Bayard Rustin had been pushed into the sidelines of the movement because he was gay, must have made him feel marginalized.
Yeah, there were in those movements, of course, some sort of homophobia as well. But Baldwin saw himself much more as a witness. So as a witness, you have to be here. You have to be in the middle of everything. You have to meet the people. So that's why he had never any barrier to go and meet those people, to go to the South or to go to visit Elijah Muhammad. And by the way, it's one of the most beautiful essays of Baldwin about his visit. Mm. And so he moved, as he said, freely among all those people.
My guest is Raoul Peck, whose latest film is I Am Not Your Negro. It is being shown in theaters around New York. And that's not the word he used. Now, it's uncomfortable for me to say what he said, but he felt it was important to use the N-word.
Well, first of all, at the time, he was very brave to use it the way he used it. But don't forget, if you could use the word Negro or nigger in the Dick Cavett show, you know, in a 45-minute show where you could speak freely. At the time, there were only three television networks, national TV. Today, I think we are cornered by not trying to use those same words. And it's a way for me to try to bury the discussion, the real discussion that we need to face. And that's what Baldwin urged us and forced us to do.
And I hope listeners will forgive me for using this word, but he said America needs to ask itself as to why it needed a nigger in the first place. He felt that blacks had served a certain role in the American consciousness. He also felt it didn't matter whether whites felt hatred, fear, or pity for their fellow black citizens, because the results all turned out to be basically the same.
Exactly. And you know, I can't approve that kind of angst or fear of using those words when we are not afraid to live every day this so-called dream, when we know that dream was based on a genocide. And so, I don't have time anymore to take prisoners. We need to have, as adults, a real conversation about these things.
You focus a lot on Hollywood films from the 50s and 60s and their representations of black Americans. What did Baldwin think about the way Hollywood portrayed blacks?
Well, he basically did a whole deconstruction of Hollywood movies, because for him, Hollywood movies were transporting ideology. They were transporting a way of life, a way to see women, to see gay people, to see minorities. And, you know, the perfect example is John Wayne killing off the Indians, as he said. And he took him time to understand that the Indians were him. You know, that's exactly the type of killing happening in our communities.
Can we say that Hollywood has improved? You're a filmmaker. This year, a number of the top films are rather, I don't know what word to use, but they...
Radical.
They deal with race in a very different way.
Yes, because we are, you know... very far away in this process. We should be able to do 20, 30 films like this every year. And Hollywood, in that sense, didn't change. The Academy changed some of the rules that make it easier. But the big elephant in the room are how many of these films are produced, how many black filmmakers, women, gay people have access to a green light in Hollywood. This is the major problem, and nobody have addressed it yet.
You're from Haiti, and didn't you once serve as Haiti's Minister of Culture?
Yes, I did.
When did you start reading James Baldwin? Well, and is American black culture somehow a part of Haitian culture these days?
Well, not only of the Haitian culture, of any black person throughout the world. I read James Baldwin before I went to college in Berlin, Germany. I was giving the book, The Fire Next Time, that it was the first Baldwin books I read, and it just blew my mind, and it changed my life. So coming from Haiti, don't forget, American cinema have invaded the whole world. It's a dominant film form everywhere. As a child, I saw John Wayne, I saw all the Western, I saw Tarzan in cinemas in Haiti. And when I went to Congo when I was 8, my father was working in a Congo. I also saw the same films in Leopoldville cinemas. So, and in later on in France. So we are talking about an art form that have been very dominating and also transporting a sort of ideology and way of life throughout the world.
Do you think that the audiences in Leopoldville in Congo were seeing the same movie that we were seeing here
Absolutely.
In the United States?
Absolutely. The same, exactly the same.
It's, no, I don't mean whether they've been changed, but the way they interpreted, the way people understood those films?
You know, it was always ambiguous. You know, any black boy who's playing as a boy, Indian and cowboys, you know there is a reason why you want to be the cowboy and you don't want to be the Indian. So you do ask yourself question, even though you don't totally understand why is that. But, you know, and you grew up, you know, any black boy or any Latino, you know, you watch Hollywood film and you suddenly see a black character or a Mexican character, you know it's going to end badly. So we grew up knowing that. And in fact, for the price of one, we were seeing always two movies.
Is there a public intellectual today who holds the place that James Baldwin held during his lifetime?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not, because we don't have that type of intellectuals who are also men of on the field, who were also not only witness, but they were also actors. They were also spokesmen. And more than anything else, they had credential. They were respected. They were, their words had some sort of weight. Today, it's much more difficult.
You must be very pleased by the reaction to this film. Well, I mean, it's a really wonderful film,
well,
but still,
listen,
the critics all seem to understand what you were trying to do.
Exactly. I'm you know, totally extremely joyous that the film has had that kind of impact, not only to the critics, but also to the audience. I've been doing, you know, a lot of Q&As, and I can see those faces. It's these are life-changing experience for the audience, and And if I had an agenda, it was to make sure that Baldwin can be back and is back and that people are going to start reading him again.
And the film is I Am Not Your Negro. It is currently at the Film Forum on West Houston Street in Lincoln Center's Eleanor Bunin Monroe Film Center. There are other theaters also showing it. And you can find a listing of them on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. Raoul Peck, thank you so much for being on our show again.
Thank you for inviting me again.